Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
UK Tech Weekly Podcast.
It's a special day in UK Tech Weekly podcast history as we address a sexism row with an actual woman in the room. So Miriam Harris of Digital Arts, thank you for joining us.
Hello.
And David Price of Macworld, how are you doing?
I'm good. I'm a man though, so...
You are a man, so like you lose points for being a man, talking, unfortunately. Okay. But it's a bit more complicated than that. We will come back and talk Apple with the man from Macworld. But before that, we're going to talk about another tech giant in Google. Miriam Harris has been on the case for us. You've probably heard about the what has turned into a sexism row at Google. Miriam, what's going on?
So basically, probably a lot of you have already heard this week that a Google engineer, although he is not anymore, wrote a 3,000-word memo on the biological differences between men and women and why that might lead to why there are less women represented in the tech industry. So it was basically meant to be just shared internally, and he actually wrote it a whole month ago, but it has since been leaked to the press after a lot of people got quite angry about it. So basically, maybe we can talk quickly about what it actually said. So he, this guy James, basically repeatedly denies endorsing using stereotypes, but he does say, he talks a lot about this thing called prenatal testosterone, which apparently affects people's personality traits.
Okay.
And apparently psychologists have said that. So in his memo, he talked about how women have different personalities directed towards feelings and aesthetics rather than ideas, high levels of anxiety, not as assertive, so women struggle with salary negotiations, things like...
He makes a lot of sweeping statements.
He does.
They're generally
But he, well, he says them
unproven.
About the population as a whole, though. Mm-hmm. I think he does specifically say that you can't apply these to individuals and that they only will cause a change in representation as a whole, as a percentage.
Yeah, he had some graphs in there as well to show that.
It's very pseudo-scientific, isn't it?
Yes, exactly. Like, he did have some links to things, but others he just outright just kind of said them as opinion. Things like women on average show higher interest in people and men in things.
Citation required.
It's basically what he's saying here is he's an engineer and he's interested in things. And women don't pay an interest in him. So that must be what happens. And he has enough free time to write a document like this. Because it's a long document.
Yeah.
It seems very considered. And like you say, Dave, it's pseudoscientific. So this leaked outright. And people at the company have taken umbrage with it. Gizmodo published it first. But lots of other places have now taken it upon themselves to distribute it.
So we probably should make clear that he has been since fired.
Yes.
And the Google CEO, Sundar Pichai, said that the memo was harmful and not okay, and he was fired for perpetuating gender stereotypes. But James has actually since responded, and he's done a few interviews online. I just watched one with Bloomberg, and he said that he feels betrayed, and he just wanted to help Google, but was punished and shamed instead. Because he actually wrote it initially anonymously, didn't he?
Yeah.
But
he's a conservative man in a admittedly left-wing company. Quite a liberal company. So there was a quote that I read that he said, "When it comes to diversity and inclusion, Google's left bias has created a politically correct monoculture that maintains its hold by shaming dissenters into silence." So what we're kind of talking about here is perhaps against the social norm currently, a right-wing political believer
is
being silenced.
He did say in his report that Google should stop alienating conservatives.
Mm.
So I guess he was saying that.
So
himself.
Yeah, on that point, is this a problem because somebody who has perhaps grown up with white privilege and has sort of been politically accepted is now working in a place, or used to work in a place, that doesn't suit his social beliefs, and therefore he felt like a minority.
Mm. And so being fired, does that just reinforce his argument that, you know, he didn't really have freedom of expression as maybe someone who identifies... Well, he said he's a centrist, but, you know, from the ideas in his report.
What do you reckon, David? Because, like, it's difficult to know whether or not he was writing it from a position of pure frustration, and was, because the way he kind of writes it, I'm not saying he was correct, but he was... from the way it's presented in such a professional manner, or pseudo-professional, should we say, that he was trying to put across a frustrated point, whereas, of course, he's tried to use flowery language. When you break it down, it does kind of say that, obviously, the piece that Gizmodo picked up on was women are basically genetically inferior, and therefore, maybe not inferior, but you know what I mean? It's been twisted, you have to admit it's been twisted by media to say a certain thing.
He does also paint men as victims as well, and kind of brings that up as if a man complains about gender issues, they're labelled as misogynist, and why is this, and lots of money has been poured into protecting women and things like this. So he's also kind of saying, what about the men?
I do sort of think, like you said, that them firing him has kind of proven his point, because...
But they had to fire him.
because of the publicity?
Yeah.
Yeah, you, so this is what
that,
we
is
were...
Is that right, that you should fire somebody because they've got you bad publicity because an anonymous note they wrote and circulated within the company was then leaked by somebody else, and your own company's borders or your own company's culture is such that people think it's right to shame somebody for having quite possibly crackpot political views.
Yes, I mean...
But they are still opinions. And it's not that he was saying everybody should be fired. He was just saying maybe the reason... that there's only 5% women in software engineering is because, on average, there are some differences. I don't think I believe that at all, but...
No.
Should you be fired for that?
This is
the
thing.
Like, this is what we were talking about. Is it just because he works at Google? Like, what if he worked at a tiny company that no one had heard of and he wrote that? Would he still be fired, you know?
Yeah.
So is it fair?
It's really hard to talk about this without... sounding like you agree, because I don't agree with what he says.
Yeah.
But I've seen sexist remarks from males in so many different jobs that I've been in, that it's the kind of thing that if you said down the pub, you know, women like people and men like things, somebody would be like, the women would be thinking, you're a dick. The men would nervously laugh. And then, like, you just go on with it, knowing that that person had these kind of, like, antiquated and sexist views. But, you know, they're never going to get fired, whereas it's such a high platform that he's been leaked to, and like a worldwide headlines, man from Google thinks women are stupid, basically. That's what the headlines were saying. Yeah. That it's very hard for a company who has, like you say, Miriam, left leanings, not to be like, well, he's expressed very right-wing views. And in the political climate at the moment, where the so-called alt-right holds such...
They're right-wing, they're not particularly right-wing.
Well, not really,
they're
no.
A bit right-wing. They seem particularly right-wing at Google.
Yes, exactly. Mm.
Compare it with the things that the President of the United States says, then they
can't
are
unbelievably... Can't fire the President, though, David. Have to fire James Damore instead.
Yeah.
Because he said... Go on.
Might even be propelled more to the fact that Google still has terrible stats, you know, representing women in their companies.
Yes.
So obviously they're feeling very... aware of this.
Yeah, we saw. Sort of, I forget the exact figures, but it was something that 60-something percent of Google are male,
I've got them here.
And 50-something percent of them are white.
So 31% of Google employees are women.
I will be quiet.
who made up 25% of its leadership and 20% of technical positions.
Did you just try and mansplain a load of stats to a woman who actually knew them?
Oh, someone tried to come in the door, so I got I got distracted and didn't hear you say
even after
heard
I said
the
that
exact
them.
Stats.
That's okay.
Sorry.
Butting in.
Am I fired now?
Exactly.
Sorry.
It's probably a man trying to come in through the door and replace Miriam.
Probably. That would...
How do you think it made the women at the company feel? That's the thing.
Like, well, we don't really know. The only quote I've heard from a woman coming from Google is from their female head of diversity, who obviously disagreed with his statements. And Sundar Pichai's internal memo was very by the book, which you'd expect of a CEO, like that, saying, we do not accept, basically, the spin the media have put on this, which is we do not accept people internally sending around memos saying that women are inferior to men and these are the reasons why, that kind of perpetuating culture. But beyond that, I find it very hard to separate the fact that it just became a PR matter for them immediately. Yeah. It doesn't sound like this was ever dealt with internally before it became worldwide news.
So he did bring up in an interview that this was actually written, as I said before, a whole month ago, and so they would have known if it was passed around internally, surely, but they didn't take any action or fire him until it was leaked. So, you know. So
yeah, that's terrible, actually.
So actually, like, if they really did have a problem, they should have sorted it out straight away.
They didn't
away.
Care about the women in the company. They cared about the people reading about it on Engadget, whatever it was. Or Gizmodo. I don't think that's right at all.
So, so if you're saying, it was months before, it kind of shows Google's hand that, I mean, sort of, didn't have a problem with it, and he didn't lose his job until it was public knowledge.
Mm. That's what he's saying anyway.
Yeah. So. Oh, yeah, exactly. It's hard to. He's already jumped onto these very high-profile interviews, which obviously he would, having just lost his job. He said in an interview I've got written down here, he went to like a training day where he disagreed with... They were told, maybe he was saying that he was being patronised, they were told what they could and couldn't say about various sort of gender-specific things. He said, this is a quote, it was totally secretive, and I heard things that I definitely disagreed with. There was just a lot of shaming and, no, you can't say that, that's sexist, you can't do this. There's just so much hypocrisy. So he's sort of saying, you're told at Google what you can and cannot say, and you should say this and you shouldn't say that. And then when he obviously expressed his own opinion, he's been then publicly told that he is wrong.
I think it's fine to be publicly told you're wrong. And I think I think he should have been. I think they should have circulated a memo. They should have dealt with it before it went public. They should have circulated another memo that said... We thank and appreciate this person that's shared their views on this.
Mm.
We categorically disagree for the following well-researched reasons, but we continue to welcome dissenting views. And he's wrong about that as well because, look, we are welcoming dissenting views. Because that's one of the things he said was, you can't say it. And then they've just proved that you can't say it.
Yeah.
So on at least one count, he is literally right. As has been proven within a month.
Because obviously there's some gaps in what we know as to how it was dealt with. It obviously must have been dealt with in some respect, because if somebody's gone to that much trouble to write such a batty internal memo about their
it's
person...
It's a weird thing to do, because
we have to actually remember that it is really weird. Yeah. Imagine if one of us did that. Very weird. Has he not got any, like... isn't he doing his job? Anyway, maybe they just fired him because he didn't do his job for a month because he was writing this stupid paper. But maybe that's the story here. But yeah, surely they would have said at some point... I just feel like they probably didn't even bother to address it. Is that what we're saying?
It's
gone like, you're an idiot. Like, why did you bother circulating this? And then there would just be a lot of water cooler talk about what sexist he was. And then, somebody's obviously gone, oh, this would be quite juicy. Maybe we should get him fired by giving it to Gizmodo. You know, but that's the bit we're not sure of.
No, yeah.
Am I correct in saying we are unsure of that link as to why it sort of lay dormant for a while until they actually bothered to do anything about it?
No, not quite sure what happened there. But I'm sure that will actually roll out, and I'm sure a lot more information will roll out.
Because publicly a lot of big companies in the same kind of bracket, like Facebook and Twitter, they get these sort of, every quarter they get a bit bashed by a story that says, 70% of Twitter are white men and whatever. But is this more resonant with the media because it's an actual example of somebody going out and saying that I disagree with this company, and then what they are saying a lot of liberal media disagree with as well? Cool.
I guess we
nailed that then.
Yeah.
I don't know what the solution is, but I don't think it's
a bit more even, because he's brought in all these political angles as well and cultural things. It's not just pure and a rant against women, because he's saying all sorts of things. So I think that's why it's a lot more multifaceted than other things that we've seen in the past.
This whole scientific veneer, I would call it, because it's kind of quite thin. That there is a long history of right-wing and extreme right-wing views trying to give themselves that level of respectability. You go back hundreds of years, and there's all this stuff about, we found out scientifically that white people are the most brilliant race for the following reasons. And I think, to one extent, I don't think you should say, because he has citations, he can say what he likes. I don't buy that as cover. But at the same time, you do have to look at what exactly has he done? What exactly has he said? What harm has it done, other than publicity, which I don't think is fair to put that on him? I don't know. I've got no answers. You've got answers, Miriam.
Oh, no. I've said what I need to say.
I was trying to think if there are any other examples of something so publicly happening like this recently. And I couldn't really think of anything other than, the kind of... this company's a bit too white, this company doesn't hire enough women. This is quite a specific example of a guy who's kind of been maybe, I don't know how to phrase it, fairly hung out to dry. Because he has been a little bit. He has suffered for what he probably thought initially was a position he probably felt very strongly about. In fact, he's gone out and done this research and done this memo. But I just don't know what he... I don't know what he... He has no regrets. But I don't know what he thought he would achieve by doing it.
Maybe he leaks it himself. Because he has now got himself a pretty little career as a right-wing tech pundit. If he wants it. I mean, he might want to become a software engineer again. But if he wants... The fact that he knows, presumably, a reasonable amount about technology, any number of right-wing websites will happily sign him up to talk about what Apple have done wrong and what Google have done wrong from a right-wing perspective. I don't think he's going to do too badly out of it. But
I couldn't come up with a funny rhyme to say at the end of this.
Is that because sexism shouldn't be reduced to a joke?
And also I could only come up with one half of it as well. The first bit was probably the bit none of us would have agreed with, which is conservative and let live, which doesn't even really make any sense. But then I couldn't come up with the bad one, because obviously we'd all go for the bad one.
James Damore.
But I suppose that maybe Damore. That's just... that's. Well, I also wanted to use that's Damore, but I couldn't work out how to fit it in. So
That's Damore and that's Damoron.
Yeah. Ah, okay. So that, but also, should he have been fired? Basically, that's the big question. Evidence that you have in front of you, should he have been fired? I think he should. I think that's the only possible thing that the Google could have done to stop the PR train rumbling on, personally. If they hadn't fired him, you get so many bloody horrible
But it's still going to rumble on. Like, even if he's fired or not, everyone's still going to want to know more about it and what happened. So I don't think that's really going to stop it. And I think they could have taken maybe a little bit more time before they just outright fired him and almost... you know, supported what he was saying. So
turned him into a martyr.
I think there could be, have more discussion with him or something about it.
What do you reckon, David?
I can only repeat, I don't have any solutions. I don't feel like it was the right thing to do to fire him. I don't know what was the right thing to do, though. It had got beyond their control by that point. They needed to do it earlier. And presumably, as he said, somebody in the company was frustrated at the lack of action, which is why they leaked it.
Yeah.
So if they had done something, I don't know what something should be.
I suppose the fact that he's been so willfully vocal about it having been fired, that perhaps internally they were scared of firing him because they knew he'd just go to the press with it.
Yeah, but he's got nothing to lose now, has he? Course he's vocal. Yeah. I'd be vocal if I'd written a wingnut right-wing memo and been fired. Of course he would.
Yeah, he's kind of got to fight his corner now, hasn't he? Because he's got global media saying he's a sexist pig.
Or saying he's a brilliant martyr to the cause, exactly. If you're an alt-right Trumpite.
We will watch his career with medium interest.
We all don't support him.
No, we don't. Mulling it over for you, dear listener. Cool. Well, no funny rhymes because it's not a funny subject.
Except for that's Damoron.
That's Damoron.
I think that's great.
Thank you, guys. Be right back to talk about Apple things. We didn't have time to pod last week, but we are back and we have a double Apple header. David Price, we're going to chat a little bit about the earnings call that Tim Cook led and how iPads apparently are popular again before we move on to the iPhone 8 runaway train. Stumbling over my words there because I'm so bloody excited. brief note on the earnings call. What did we learn from Mr. Cook?
Everything is rosy in the Apple orchard.
It always is.
Billions
made.
I mean, it's always X billions made, but you look at the trends, there's been a few recently where things have been down, but that's not the case here. Across the board, essentially, numbers are up, iPhone sales are up, Mac sales are up. But the interesting one is, as you said, is iPad. Did he say? I don't know.
Yep.
Is it iPad, it looks better than it is because iPad volume sales are up. And I haven't written down numbers for this, but I think they're up about 16%, something like that, which looks really good. But then the revenue on that, I think, is only up 1%.
Okay.
So what's happened is that they brought out this cheaper
iPad.
£330 iPad 9.7-inch back in March, something like that. And it's doing really well. Everyone's buying it. And it turns out the reason why people have stopped buying iPads because they are so ruddy expensive.
Yeah. So the iPad Pro starts now at £619. I know that because I'm a nerd. But then, obviously, we nerdily love those machines. I've got one sitting in front of me, and you have one. But the general consumer doesn't want to spend that much money on something that's going to Netflix with. So even though
I definitely wouldn't.
No, I know that. Hey, you've got an iPad Pro as well. You know,
you've got an iPad Pro, Miriam.
Digital arts iPad work. Pro.
I wouldn't spend my cash on it.
No,
I wouldn't either, to be honest.
But then obviously I think you gave the iPad a middling review because we make fussy things about how the screen isn't laminated compared to the iPad Air 2 and everything. But Apple's probably done themselves a solid here by releasing basically a £300 iPad.
It's a really smart decision, and it's been vindicated by these numbers.
Mm.
But other than that, it's the usual stuff. Not always, but it's services is a particularly good one for them. That's the one that includes Apple Pay and the App Store and stuff like
Apple
that.
Apple Music.
Yeah, and other products is doing well as well because of the AirPods. And
does Apple Watch still come under other products?
It
does. Have they finally segmented
it comes under other products.
We never know how much they've sold. They just say Apple Watch is the best-selling smartwatch in the world. And then they don't actually tell us how many.
I know.
How do you know? Just because he said it was.
No, there is stats about that up, but also they couldn't just lie. Also, because basically all smartwatch makers are tanking right now, except for Apple, who are doing okay, it seems to be. It's still not a huge market, still pretty niche. I love the Apple Watch.
I know you do.
Henry loves the Apple Watch. Maybe less than me.
I'm not wearing one right now. I'm wearing a Fitbit.
You're not wearing it?
A Fitbit.
Fitbit are tanking.
Yeah, but they're bringing out a smartwatch, but I think that's going to tank.
Of course it is.
That's a different conversation.
But like Jawbone have gone or are going.
Gone. Pebble gone, Jawbone gone.
Exactly.
Vector gone.
Fitbit are doing not great. It really is. You know, what's happened is that the smartwatch market, the wearables market, has struggled. But Apple has kind of transcended that and done.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Pretty well, but it's still niche.
And then so briefly before we hop onto iPhone 8, the nice little bridge here, supposedly the Apple Watch Series 3, which it may be an upgrade to the Series 2 at the moment, but importantly, there's a report, pretty strong report, that it's going to be a fully LTE Apple Watch. So some we've tested a few, actually. You can't actually use some of the Android Wear watches with LTE in this country just because basically the networks don't cope with it, so it's purely an American thing. Because you have to put a SIM card inside your phone, and ideally what you want is that you have a SIM card that has the same number attached to it in your watch that it does in your phone.
Yeah.
But you can't do that on UK networks. You can only the US carriers have permission to split a number like that. I've tested one, but I've not actually been able to use it with my phone as well. Because obviously the idea is you can leave your phone somewhere else, and the watch doesn't need to be connected to your phone. You just get a phone call when you're out and about on a run, whatever, download music off the 4G connection. But Apple supposedly we know they have good quality control and have supposedly held off on doing this because they want to do a slim, attractive device that has decent battery life and isn't really, really chunky, because the LTE watches out there have terrible battery life and are really big and ugly. So do you think that they've managed to do that? Is that something that you think Apple will do? Because the one thing it will do is make it something you don't have to own an iPhone for.
Yeah, well, that's the final form that we're looking for is that it's just a standalone device that you just go, you know, you do all your phone calls on your watch. That would be the dream. I don't know if we're ready for that yet. And I don't even know if Apple particularly want to separate it from the iPhone because the iPhone is their most successful product ever and they'd like to sell a few more because of it.
There's no harm in experimenting with it though, because at the moment, but then the other thing is like, I've not used the Series 2 watch that you're wearing, but I've used the first generation.
So good. So good, honey.
But what I was going to say is like, that's way quicker than the one I've used, which is the just the, not even the Series 1, the first generation one. It's very slow. But a lot
it
of
should be a lot better with WatchOS 3 and possibly
I use that. I just don't really use many apps because it's quite slow. But most of the computing is still, you know, anchored back to the iPhone it's attached to, right? So how's it going to cope without that?
Yeah, it would be a complete sea change. They'd have to essentially totally rethink the way the WatchOS works. It's going to be, you know, it's going to be quite, like all things, it's going to be a question of priorities and the, what do you call it, the trade-offs. So as you said, it'll be a question of how much has battery tech moved on, and so can they get a battery that's powerful enough to power the SIM card or whatever in a nice, slim form factor. And I don't know if we're ready for that just yet.
Are you ready for this, Miriam? Have you ever been tempted by an Apple Watch, regardless of price?
Well, I just wonder, do you ever like send messages on there? Like, does it have a little keypad?
No, you do dictation.
There's a couple of ways to do it.
If I was,
And without, how do you take a call? Do you just hold it up to your...
Well, at the moment,
you can't.
You just
talk into it
You would just talk into it like on Star Trek. Yeah. I reckon Star Trek has had a massive influence on these products, because they're all
On all technology.
Yeah.
Because it's... everything, honestly, because a lot of the people that design these things are fans of sci-fi, and so many times you find
you'd
it
have to be.
Going
yeah,
that
I reckon,
direction.
Are these VR tablets and smartwatches is all it's all sci-fi.
Totally, first time.
But, oh shit, what was I going to say? Yes, you speak into them, and this is the same for Android Wear as well. You can either speak into them, which is kind of odd.
So it definitely can't replace a phone, because you always want to be speaking into it, though.
No, but there's other ways as well. So there's also...
wireless connection to earphones.
There's also a thing where the whole screen becomes a single letter, like a single character.
So I've shown you that before. Don't you remember?
It's much better than it sounds. So you just sort of scribble a little BRB. Do people even say BRB?
It's the text I send the most. Yeah.
And also you have automated responses, which are semi-dynamic. So if somebody sends you a text and you get it on your watch and it says, are you coming home? Then yes, will be offered to you as a pre-baked response. You just tap.
I'm in a meeting.
There's stuff like that. And you can,
so you
can
guys might actually seriously consider completely replacing a phone with smartwatch?
No.
I would. Shall I tell you why?
Yes.
What I want to be able to do is go for a run with my Apple Watch and get cricket scores while I'm on the way. And you can't do that at the moment.
Yeah.
Because I've got the England Cricket Board app on my iPhone, which gives you wicket alerts when England are playing, which makes
it much
more
social.
So
you're going running without your phone?
Yeah. So what you could do at the moment is just take your phone with you, which is what I sometimes do.
Yeah.
But that's no one wants to do that.
Mm-hmm. What about, I haven't got time for that. What about social media, though? How can you look at that on your little smartwatch?
You totally can.
But it's
why do you keep saying my little smartwatch is quite small?
It's very small.
Very small screen. It's just
no, but you just scroll up. So you get like a little Slack icon or whatever, a Twitter icon. You go, oh yeah, what's happened?
And it says you're still talking about it as a kind of satellite notification device where you can view messages. What Miriam is saying is like you wouldn't just open Twitter and look at Twitter on your smartwatch.
I'm saying. That's why I couldn't.
When he's saying completely replace your phone, he doesn't mean completely not owning a phone.
No, of course not. I would still have 5 Apple devices.
Naturally. Well, and coming on to that, will that 5th device be replaced with the iPhone 8? Because obviously through the medium of sound, which we are operating in now, we cannot show you, Mr. and Mrs. Listener, the iPhone 8 dummy that we were
sent. We could be completely lying about this, couldn't we?
There is a video on our YouTube channel, check it out. I'll put a link in the show notes. But David, please tell us about the iPhone 8 you are holding. Well, it's not an iPhone 8.
So it's a dummy. We have contacts at a case maker called Olixar, and they say that they have contacts in the supply chain and, you know, insiders that can tell them what the next iPhone is going
to
look like.
Well, yeah, because case manufacturers have to be told in advance roughly the dimensions, correct?
Yeah, yes and no. I think that some of them are in the know and are told, and those companies would not reveal that, I suspect, because they might get taken off the list. Olixar don't sell through the Apple Store. They're sort of semi-unofficial, I guess you could say. So I think they've had to derive this from their own sources. I think Apple are quite happy to leave somebody out in the cold and have to make a case on the fly.
Yeah.
And this case could be wrong.
Yeah.
Because they sent us some cases with this dummy. They could totally be wrong.
But to contextualise it, the thing that makes the casing kind of look semi-legitimate is not only the kind of leaks that we've been seeing from unofficial supply chain sources in the way that iPhone leaks have perpetuated media throughout the last few years as their supply chain gets bigger and more leaky, but also with the firmware leak that we've had from the HomePod, which...
That's like the best leak.
Apple has actually accidentally done it itself.
It was amazing.
It can't be angry because it did it itself.
Can't get mad.
The latest, what we heard, right, is that the HomePod, which is not yet out, it's out in December, supposedly they were giving HomePod devices to Apple employees internally to test out and to develop software for, and therefore send them the firmware documents, which contained code that if you compute, you can render images of unreleased products, including the so-called iPhone 8 with its bezel-less design.
Yes, exactly. And the notch at the top. That's sort of
So there's a little notch at the top where the camera would normally sit, but the screen kind of like sort of pools around it.
Yeah.
Like it does on that. Do you remember, have you seen the Essential phone?
No.
Don't worry. I know you don't do Android. But if anyone has seen the Essential phone, which is made by the creator of Android, Andy Rubin, it has the same sort of thing. It's got a little sort of dip where the camera would be. And so your screen isn't fully rectangle, or in this case, fully sort of rounded. And also, we are seeing no physical home button on the front of the device. And
that's right.
On this particular render, none on the back either.
Yeah, because we don't know what they're going to do with Touch ID. This is a big deal to me. I'm bothered.
David and I are big fans of Touch ID. And
especially second-gen Touch ID.
Oh, yeah.
So fast and buttery smooth. Is that the nerdiest thing I've ever said?
That was a piece of sponsored content there. and we kind of just thought, no, they're not going to do it. But increasingly...
Yeah.
We've seen pictures, I don't know if you have, Miriam, of iPhone 8 casing, taken in the back of a van somewhere in China, with like a little hole cut out where the Touch ID button would be on the back of the device.
Mm-hmm. There is a precedent for that in Android.
Yeah, like on LG's last two phones, I've had circular ones on the back and it's fine. But for Apple, I just don't think aesthetically they would do that. It just doesn't look right. It looks like a fake.
Particularly because it has the Apple logo and then the cutout below it.
Yeah.
When that's just ugly. And if they're going to do it anyway, then... I don't know, they try and do it so that the Apple logo itself is a Touch ID thing.
I don't think they do that either, because supposedly now found in this homeware HomePod firmware coding is mention of something called Face ID.
Yes.
Which is supposedly how iPhone 8 buyers will be able to unlock and pay for things, including Apple Pay.
I can't believe that'll be Apple Pay.
But supposedly they've done Apple Pay, App Store purchases.
Surely not.
What with their
security
face?
Authentication? So, like pack. With
with their face, Miriam.
Yes, face pay. For
like
example,
what you do when you hold your phone up to unlock it. Sometimes.
Yeah, so the Galaxy S8 and the LG G6, after a software update, now has this thing called face recognition. The problem with face recognition is that it is fooled by 2D printouts of people's faces. So it's quick if you have nothing to hide.
Such a brilliant hack.
Yeah, but then you can just hold up a picture of your face to it, and it will be tricked.
You look ridiculous when you do it.
You do look a bit stupid. The thing that Samsung has done to get around this is clunkily on their phone, I think, included face recognition, fingerprint sensor on the back in a weird place because they couldn't work out how to put the fingerprint sensor under the screen, which we'll come back to in a sec, and then also iris scanning. So iris scanning is uses infrared and therefore can detect sort of 3D shapes. And the iris scanning on the on the Galaxy S8 is more secure than face recognition because you can't hold up a picture of your eye. It doesn't work. It's two different things. I'll show you later. Anyway, so supposedly with Apple, they have... You know about this, right, David? They're introducing infrared sensors into the front of the display so that you need a 3D pulsating brain head to open.
I think we're conflating two things. So on one level, it can detect heat. On another level, it can detect 3D objects.
So basically what we're saying...
But both of those things would prevent it from just being fooled by a photo.
And should hopefully work in the dark as well, something face recognition can't do.
Oh my goodness.
But I cannot believe it will be reliable enough for Apple Pay, because Touch ID is so reliable. It's really, really good technology.
And a relatively simple thing for consumer facing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I cannot believe that banks will be willing to, for example, there's that under £30, the contactless thing with Apple Pay. They're not going to trust that to Face ID. They don't know that that's reliable. It could easily be spoofable in their eyes.
Well, this backs up the idea that we're going to see three iPhone models.
So
wow. This sort of futuristic looking iPhone 8, which I kind of lean towards. I don't think they'll put the Touch ID on the back, and I think it will do this thing. But
they
want to
do
it
through the screen.
I think it will still be like kind of almost. They won't market it this way, obviously, because it's Apple. But it's kind of been like it's gonna be like a beta phone where they'll be like, "This is amazing. Look what we're building here. This is the future." And it will only have support for like App Store purchases, and you won't be able to use Apple Pay with the face stuff yet. And it'll just be this magical £1,000 iPhone that has all these things. But then they'll do the 7S and the 7S Plus as well.
Which are just going to be straight iterations of the iPhone 6 and the 6 Plus, which we've had the same model of
design-wise,
generations
yes.
Now.
But then looking like glass-backed models. So yeah. The upgrade here will be they'll be glass, so they'll have wireless charging.
Except the rumour on that is that all three devices will be capable of wireless charging, but only the 8 will come with the wireless charger. So the other ones will be like, oh, I can't do wireless charging unless I buy a dongle.
Exactly.
You know, if you buy a brand new £180 Nintendo 3DS XL, it doesn't come with a AC adapter.
What?
I was horrified by that. Anyway, but this is a similar thing, yeah, including things in the box. Wow. So, with the iPhone 8.
What else can you tell us, David?
That we don't think it's going to have, we don't think it's going to have Touch ID through the screen. We didn't really cover that. Because that, you know, aside from all this stuff about Face ID and Touch ID on the back, the best solution is to have it through the screen. And the scanners to do that, scanners that can detect fingerprints through the required
display, yeah.
Witness width of glass, have been put on the market. So they are available.
Yeah, we saw some at, I think it was MWC or CES. There is the technology that exists. It's just...
But it's bleeding edge. Therefore, it's expensive.
Oh yeah,
and you know.
But it sounds like the iPhone 8 is going to be pretty expensive.
Yeah, the I can't remember who said it. I think it was a guy from Foxconn. He said it's not going to be cheap. It's like, why would you say that? That's not good.
Breaking
that's not good.
News.
Great quote.
Although I think was it Lewis? He was saying that he thought leaks like that. He always thought they would come from the company itself because you deliberately leak the idea that it's going to be really expensive, and then when it comes out and it's only very expensive.
Only 1199 or whatever. Yeah.
I don't know, but it does look like over 1,000. I mean, it already goes over 1,000 for the top model, is it? I can't remember.
I mean, I know we look at this thing, and a few of us have bought phones and iPhones outright. But, yeah. I mean, a lot of people are still going to be looking for contracts for this sort of thing.
Yeah.
And a lot of fanatical Apple people will not mind paying, you know, 60, 70 quid a month just to have the latest, greatest iPhone. It's a lot,
yeah,
but then
no,
again...
No Touch ID.
Do you think people care about Touch ID, Miriam?
Yeah, I do think they will.
And what do you think? Because we all sit around this table owning different sizes of iPhone. So, David, you've got a Plus model. I've got a regular 7.
Oh, yeah, that's something we didn't mention. So I've got the 6S Plus. The 8, with its bezel-less screen, its extended screen that goes past where the home button used to be,
yep.
past where the cameras are.
So it's a taller display.
It's a 5.8-inch screen.
Yeah.
So at the moment, the 7 and the 7 Plus are 4.8 and 5.5. So it's bigger, significantly bigger than the Plus, but in a body the size of just the 7.
Mm-hmm. So this is another thing that...
It is awesome.
So it is awesome, man. And like the general tech buying public, not to patronise them too much, might not be aware of products like the LG G6, which did this like... It will be nearly a year ago by the time the iPhone actually comes out, probably, but have got like an 18:9, 2:1 display, taller instead, smaller in the hand. But as soon as you put it on an iPhone, that's the one that's really going to break the industry. Because, I mean, yeah. The Galaxy S8 Plus is, you can still hold it in one hand. My hands are tiny, and I can still fit it in one hand, but it's got a 6.2-inch screen. I'm not holding it. It's my small hand.
Yeah.
But yeah, for Apple to popularize it in this way, will you be tempted, Miriam? Because you've got an iPhone SE.
Because
it.
Of the size, yeah. Because I also have very small hands.
So with that dummy in your hand, is that a manageable size?
Yeah. It's a good, like, middle of the road, I think. Like, bigger than the one that I have now, but not too, overwhelming. So, yeah, definitely tempting.
But then would you...
£1,000,
yeah, would you sacrifice, though? Because if you had that phone, it wouldn't have a headphone jack. Because this is the thing, to get more, the reason bezels,
exactly.
People always say, oh, bezels are ugly and like they get in the way, but the reason bezels are there is because they house important internal components, like headphone jacks, which is why, I mean, but then again, Samsung and LG, those phones that we've discussed, they have nearly bezel-less screens and they still have headphone jacks, but Apple's putting in their clever Taptic engine to replicate the movement of the home button.
So the more you hear about this, it really seems like the 7 was a beta phone exploring these concepts.
Because they've put that big engine in it, but really, like, they could have fit a...
Because that home button on the 7, which So it doesn't actually press down, for the readers at home that don't know, it doesn't actually press down. It simulates the effect of a click by doing a little buzz.
And it's amazing.
It's very, very clever, but the fact that it did that was kind of unnecessary and pointless. But it does lead the way to then not having a home button at all.
This is a massive tangent, but I read something quite interesting, I think via John Gruber. Daring Fireball. Which was the reason, one of the reasons why Apple changed to a non-moving home button was because of the Chinese market. And this is crazy. But you know how if your home button breaks, and people's home buttons do break, there's an accessibility thing within the iPhone where you can use, I've forgotten what it's called, but it brings up that little dot on the screen, the movable
screen home button.
You can bring the on-screen home button. Yeah. And it's apparently because in the Chinese market, there's a huge worry that when you buy an iPhone, which is an expensive piece of consumer technology, that your resale value will immediately drop as soon as your home button breaks. And because when they were being introduced to China, a lot of them were breaking, people, even in the store, when you were buying your iPhone, the sales assistant would say to you, your home button's going to break, turn on this accessibility option. And use your iPhone this way. So apparently, I'm told, if you go to China and see people using iPhones, even if they're brand new iPhones, they're all using that accessibility option.
Wow.
Because they're so scared that the iPhone's going to break.
They all are thinking about reselling it already as soon as
thinking about
they buy
moving
it
on. And also, they just don't want this expensive piece of technology to break. And just culturally, it's something that's perpetuated iPhones. Because Apple's only been in China for like 3 or 4 years retail, maybe.
Yeah.
I might be wrong on that, probably. Don't let me up. But that was cited from another source that he had as a reason, one of the reasons why Apple, who is struggling in China at the moment, wanting to say, hey, this home button will never break because it's just a little thing that makes it seem like it's clicking because it's not going to break.
That's
nerdy,
really,
but I found it really interesting.
It's such a shame, actually, that they're still doing that when the home button on the iPhone 6S, for example, is extremely reliable.
Yeah. Yours hasn't broken, has it, Miriam?
No.
SE?
No.
Yeah,
but that's only been a couple of years, isn't it?
Yeah.
If that, year and a half?
Oh, no, much longer than
year and a half. Year and a half.
Has that only been that long?
Yeah, I think
so.
Okay. March last year.
Well, it's still on sale now, isn't it?
Yeah, well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Tackled all the issues there.
And we never talked about a shortage of supply. There's probably going to be a shortage of supply.
So, the other thing, will we actually see an iPhone event and an iPhone launch in September, David?
Yeah, we will. It's now, there was this vague feeling that in the middle of September, probably around the 18th, 19th.
Oh, it's my birthday.
They will announce the three iPhones, but then the iPhone 8 won't be available initially. I mean, there's always sort of like a week before they're actually available on the streets. But there will be more of a wait for the iPhone 8. But they've jiggled their supply chain, and it will now probably be available at the same time as the 7S and 7S Plus. But there will be very constricted supply on the 8 because of high failure rates with the OLED screens.
Oh, right.
But if you do get a chance to buy an iPhone 8, you grab it.
Go for it.
That's the advice.
No tomorrow.
So, in light of Apple taking up this screen technology that has already been done by Android, David. iPhone 8 or 2000 and late?
I don't like that.
didn't think you would.
I suppose it has to be 2000 and late then.
Oh, wow. Miriam?
Yep, I'm the same.
Is that because you love Fergie?
Oh, no. Did you make me do a reference to something?
It's a reference.
To the Black Eyed Peas?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I'm so 2008, you so 2000 and late.
Oh, you made me do that again.
Well, sorry, David, you've agreed now. I like the iPhone 8. I don't mind that they're coming second. I think they're still going to smash it. But a lot of people probably will smash it as well because it's very breakable design. And on that horrible note, listener, we've taken up too much of your time. Thank you for joining us, Miriam Harris, David Price. We'll be back next week, hopefully with a woman again. Say goodbye, guys.
Goodbye.
UK Tech Weekly Podcast.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.